Hey there, before we get started on this week's episode, I would love to ask for your support by reviewing this podcast. We want to share yoga with as many people as possible, and this free resource, this podcast, is one of the ways that we can do that. And the best way that you can help support us is by giving us a review. So if you go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whatever podcast platform you use, scroll down until you find that star review and then give us some love. Thank you so much, and let's get started with this week's episode.
Teach a really straightforward class with a lot of great cueing and sophistication. Do some minor modifications here and there. But at first, especially if you're a newer teacher and your class is like a level one or a level one, two class, you do not want to make the class too complicated because then people aren't going to be able to follow it. And also the more complicated your sequencing is, the higher potential there is for a student to get injured.
Welcome to the Going Pro Yoga Podcast. If you love yoga as much as I do, then this podcast is for you. We talk all things yoga related for teachers in order to supplement and complement and even support after a 200-hour yoga teacher training. Or if you've never done a training before, this podcast is all about just learning more about yoga in an authentic way. Together with Paul Teodo and Byron de Marseille, we put together this podcast to provide you with a free resource to learn more about yoga. Whether you want to share yoga or teach yoga or just practice yoga, this podcast is talking all things yoga related. And we're trying to talk from the teacher's perspective and also the student's perspective to make sure we get a full 360-degree angle on what yoga is all about and how it's evolved in the modern world. Welcome to our podcast. Welcome back to the Going Pro Yoga Podcast. And today we have Paul with us.
Woohoo!
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Good to be back.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. So this is the first episode of a four-part series. So this is the first time we're doing this. We're doing a four-part series on mastering sequencing, yoga sequencing. And Paul is going to start us off with episode one, and we're going to talk about the common mistakes and their solutions for yoga sequencing, which is really exciting.
Great topic.
Yeah. So sequencing is something that is obviously really important when it comes to teaching yoga, but even if, you know, your own practice, it's important to some level to know how to prepare your body, I would say.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what would you say are the most common mistakes that people have with sequencing, or the challenges maybe for newer teachers, perhaps?
Yeah, I would say the most common challenge that a new teacher faces is actually keeping things simple, because a lot of new teachers will want to do what they can do to try and stand out. So like, oh, how is somebody going to choose my class versus Paul's class or somebody who's been teaching for a long time? Oh, I need to make my sequencing super creative and super flowy, and I need to thread all of these poses together one by one by one. And to me, that's actually one of the most common mistakes is with sequencing and with teaching yoga. I always love that quote: if you can't explain it simply, you don't understand it well enough, or there's nothing more sophisticated than simplicity. So teach a really straightforward class with a lot of great cueing and sophistication. Do some minor modifications here and there. But at first, especially if you're a newer teacher and your class is like a level one or a level one, two class, you do not want to make the class too complicated because then people aren't going to be able to follow it. And also the more complicated your sequencing is, the higher potential there is for a student to get injured.
Right.
Yeah.
So what would it look like just to kind of translate a complicated sequence? Like, what is that really?
Yeah, to me, that is starting them in down dog and then having them go through like eight or nine poses in a row, like, especially like if they're holding everything on one leg and you're not straightening the leg out to take a breath or breath or two to relax, that's outright dangerous, in my opinion. Really just starting them from if you're doing a vinyasa or a power yoga class, starting them into down dog, and then you can hold them in some sort of a plank variation with the knee to the chest. You could hold them into like a little arm balance, like a side plank or something, and step them through into a low lunge or a crescent or a warrior two. Do one or two more poses, then either take a break and then take a vinyasa, or either take a vinyasa or then take a break and then move, do something on the other side, and then come back to that. But again, too many poses in a row. First off, it's complicated, which means the beginners aren't going to be able to follow. And one of the most common places where a person might injure themselves is actually transitioning from one pose to the next and doing that in a way that's not skillful when their body is tired, or if you're moving like from an external into a twist, or just something that, you and I have always said you should never do. That is dangerous to somebody who has a less experienced body and a less experienced mind. So keeping the sequencing straightforward and teaching in a way where the class is inclusive, but then the more advanced people, you just give them more sophisticated cues to pay attention to.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. What do you think about, I would say probably the reason why a lot of people create more complicated sequences is because they want to look like they know what they're doing. They want to look like they're good, right? Because it's like the more complicated, not complicated, they're probably not thinking complicated. They're probably thinking like creative, or they're thinking cool.
Yeah.
Or like, ooh, this transition to this transition is so unique. That makes my class special. And therefore, it's going to be better and people are going to like it and, you know, so on and so forth. So what I'm hearing you say is the complication or that creativity that, you know, trying to create something. It's almost like trying to recreate the wheel when, you know, if you just do simple sequencing and just kind of like hold postures a little bit longer, focus on actually stabilizing the body.
Yeah.
It's going to be more. People are going to enjoy it more. They're going to feel better. And then when you do flow, it'll probably feel more solid kind of thing, right?
Yeah. When I would say to a person like that, exactly. What I would say to a person like that is I would have them think of themselves as a musician and spend 10 minutes listening to jazz. Jazz is extremely complicated, but it's not an accessible form of music to most people. So it would be the same thing with yoga. Like, just because you're able to make something very complicated doesn't mean that it's going to sound good in a person's ears for most people. And I'm a musician. I really appreciate jazz. And I can tell what these musicians are doing when they're, but like 90% of the people in the world can't comprehend that. So you're teaching to the masses in a normal yoga class. Most people, you're teaching a rock and roll class. You're teaching, you know, you're teaching pop music. Most of those songs are 5 or 6 chords played really well with passion and with some difference in like how loud the music is and then how fast or slow it is. But it takes just keep it simple. That's basically that would be my note. Like, you can be super creative and write something that's simple. Like, most of the most beautiful songs ever written are simple songs, but they convey a message that's super powerful. So your yoga class, your yoga sequence can be that. It's like, think of it like you're writing a piece of music or you're writing a story, and you want that story to appeal to as many people as possible.
Right. Which I think is the key word there.
Yeah.
As many people as, or key phrase, as many people as possible.
Unless the class is listed as advanced vinyasa and beginners aren't really welcome, then yeah, go ahead and blow the roof off the place. Right. And do that. If as long as you tell people, like, this is a level 3 class, this is, you know, if you're the type of teacher that does tons of arm balances and inversions, you know, then you can do that. And that's fine. You know, just make sure that it's advertised as that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you can still make an advanced class still needs to have safe sequencing and safe transitioning from one pose to the next. And I have seen a lot of teachers with really crazy strong practices. They teach classes that just simply aren't safe because they're just trying to show off.
Right.
And that's not cool.
Yeah. 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 I think that's, I mean, showing off, probably yes in an ego sense, but I think it's more so probably a self-worth of being like, I'm trying to show them that I'm a good teacher by having a long complicated sequence, or maybe the way that they learned was to just piece together, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 poses in a row, and it's like, oh, if I'm in this pose, what would be cool to go into the next pose would be, as opposed to like, how do I prepare the body? It's more so like, what's cool, I would say.
Yes.
At least that's what I see. I saw someone yesterday teaching in the shala that's literally right across the rice paddies for me, and I could hear him sequencing, and he was just going from pose. He wasn't even cueing stability. He was just trying to think of ways to go from one cool pose to the next cool pose to the next cool pose. Yeah. And I was just like, the guy was really strong and he was able to handle the sequencing. But, you know, if you do that in a public class or if you do that to beginners, especially if you're a new teacher, because you're usually going to be teaching to newer people, probably family members and friends and stuff like that, they're not going to be able to probably follow that.
No.
And like you said before, the transitions, if they're complicated, their body won't be ready to be able to actually support those movements or those transitions.
Yeah, it's straight up dangerous. And yeah, it is. It is the perhaps the teacher with the self-worth, or there are teachers that have plenty of self-worth and they're like, I'm going to show off. You know, like I have this incredible backbend practice and I'm going to get in the middle of the room and I'm going to show you my scorpion, or I'm going to show you these arm balances. And people do that as well. It goes both ways.
Yeah.
You know, it's not always from a place of insecurity. It can also be from a place of ego.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough. Okay, cool. So I have a note here about students' needs. So one of the common mistakes is about ignoring student needs of the class or of the room, which, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah. I would say the best way, you need to think about people who have bodies that are different than yours. So if we're in our teacher training and we're going over a sequence, I'll usually tell someone like, hey, partner up with somebody who has a body type that's very different than yours. So if you're like a short, very flexible woman, partner with a tall, strong, muscular, but tight man, mm-hmm. you know, or you find somebody with a body type that's different than yours and teach the sequence to that person. And you're going to learn so much about like how those poses feel for certain people. And certain people need the body to be significantly warmer than others. And, you know, I'm 43 years old now, and I don't have, you know, luckily I don't have any major injuries, but my body does need to be warmed up more than it used to, like 10, 15 years ago. So I can still do most of the poses that I could do 10 years ago, but I need more warming up. So like really warming up before deep back bends is very important. That's like the biggest thing that we see is people offering up dog way too early, people offering shoulder binds way too early. And that's how you pinch a muscle in your neck. That's how you sprain your lower back. There's lots of, those are big. Those are two of the big red flags that I see.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I had a thought about flow, like flowing, because I know that we predominantly teach power yoga for the most part, which is vinyasa as well. But I know there's a lot of teachers who love to just flow. They like to teach flows, right? And when it comes to sequencing, I think that also kind of comes into play of piecing together a lot of cool poses so that it flows really well, as opposed to focusing on the stability and stuff like that. So what would you say to someone who's like, yeah, but I just want to keep moving. I want to keep moving and creating new, you know, I want to go from one pose to the next pose to the next pose. Because I'm sure you've seen this before, like basically like a typical vinyasa class, but probably less stability. Because I'm thinking there's probably a lot of people who like are really resonate with flowing. Like I just love to flow. I love to move. I don't really like to stop and hold too much.
But in order to be a good teacher, you have to do things that you don't like. You have to learn how to be good at the things that you don't like. Mm-hmm. So if you want to have like a well-rounded skill set as a yoga teacher, teaching flows is great. But if you can't teach alignment, like the class that you listened in on yesterday, you know, you're like the guy's just going from one pose to the next, trying to make it cool. You know, that to me lacks the depth of that you need. So nothing wrong with teaching flows, but I want to know why you're going from this pose to next pose. You know, why, and if you're going from this pose to this pose, what have you done to prepare the body to go from this pose to this pose?
Mm.
Why are you doing everything you're doing, like literally everything? Like if you really want to be a great teacher, like I want to know every single pose from the beginning to the end of your class, why you chose it.
Mm.
And like, that's like a level of discipline and a level of excellence to give yourself as a new teacher. And if you can do that for a few years, when you're like year two to year five, six, or seven as a teacher, by the time you get through that little, it'll just come so naturally to you, you know?
So what I'm hearing is like intention, like more intentional sequencing, like the poses that you're choosing, like why?
Yeah. Why are you doing what you're doing?
Yeah.
Why and how?
Yeah.
You know, how are you teaching it? Like, are you, it's not just like, are you teaching it slowly? What's your voice? What's your tone? Like, are you being a drill sergeant? Are you being, you know, are you pushing people? Are you encouraging them to go past their edge, or are you meeting them slightly? Well, we want people to go a little bit past their edge, but you don't want to like throw them into the deep end, you know? So something in between, you know, let me see that you understand the body if you're going to do one of those complicated flows.
Right.
And more importantly, the whole thing is, but I like flowing. Like, that's cool, but it's like, it's not about you.
Yeah.
It's about like, yeah, it's about your students. Mm-hmm. And it's like that to me is like a basketball player being like, I just want to drain threes. It's like, yeah, but you got to learn defense. You have to learn footwork. You know what I mean? Like, and this team needs you to pass, you know? So like that, those are the things that I would say to a teacher like that. Just remembering that the class is, yeah, it's about you teaching the type of class that you would want to take. Absolutely. But knowing why you like that type of class.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably not just the flow. It's the flow that is threaded together in a way that's intelligent.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so with regards to, let's say, success, whatever success is, or just like the growth of your classes or attracting more students, you know, if that's something that you want to do, if you want to have a bigger class, or, you know, you want to have these smaller classes and teach advanced sequences, and like, that's cool. But I'm thinking some people might actually want to, you know, grow and like maybe actually teach to 15, 20, 25, 30 plus people. I think it's even more important to consider that when you're sequencing or you're teaching, that it's definitely not about making it super complicated, which was your first point, but actually making it more accessible to somebody who might walk into the room who it's like their first yoga class.
Yeah.
Or it's, you know, their fifth yoga class, or they're like 50 or 60 years old and they started it at home and they're like, I'm going to start going to a, you know, a group classes at the studio nearby or whatever.
Yeah.
And how that might affect their experience if it's too complicated or too flowy, or their bodies are not prepared for certain level two or level three postures, right?
Yeah, I think exactly. I think every single class that you teach, you have to put yourself in the shoes of the person who is the most beginner, and then also the person who's the most advanced, because you want that person coming back. As long as that person is respectful, you want them coming back to your class too.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do have like one of those handstander, like person with a really elaborate physical practice, as long as they can practice within your sequence tastefully and respectfully, you let them do their little arm balances, you let them do their stuff, because I see it goes both ways too, you know, like, mm-hmm. And the beginner also, you make them feel safe by making your sequencing accessible and offering modifications for beginners and alternate poses for the people who are the yoga teachers. And then if you're in a class and a couple of the people in the room are flying around, I always like to say something like, the happiest person in the room is never the person with the fanciest practice. You know, so I say things like that just to remind people that having a fancy practice doesn't really necessarily mean anything about your mental health or your emotional health. And that that type of stuff is the deeper aspects of yoga, the breathing, the meditation, the yamas, the niyamas, doing the personal work. And I think we want to make our classes inclusive, and you want to protect people's feelings, but not overprotect too, you know, so that sometimes like I have seen people go too far with like no handstands in my class, and the class is like a strong class. It's like, but maybe somebody wants to do a handstand in your class, and maybe they've worked for years to be able to do that pose, and it's something they like to do, you know? And if a beginner looks at someone who's doing a handstand and it makes them quit yoga, that's a shame. Like, that, you know, like, it should be inspiring,
mm-hmm.
you know, watching somebody who's been doing something for longer than you do it really beautifully and elegantly,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Well, those are my notes. Is there any other common mistakes come up with?
Yeah, doing deep poses too early. So whether it's a deep back bend, a deep twist, a deep shoulder bind, that would be the biggest thing. And then also standing on one leg, balancing on one leg for too long, or holding too many poses in a row while you're standing on one leg. That's dangerous.
Mm.
Like, I would really not recommend doing that.
Right. And some of those, I would call them like staggered poses. I guess they're like external poses or neutral poses where your front leg is bent.
Yeah.
You know, warrior two, reverse warrior. You're not standing necessarily on one leg, but that front leg is, it's burning.
Yeah, it's burning.
Absolutely. Right. So if you do a lot of poses like that, and then all of a sudden you step to the front and you go into warrior three, and then you go into half moon, that one leg up there is, that's how people get hurt.
Yeah.
Because their fatigue kicks in, right?
Yeah,
the muscles.
And then they transition from one pose to the next and they twist their knee.
Yeah.
Or they twist their lower back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, not cool about that, but good note. Good
yeah.
note. Okay, great. Any other common mistakes that come up for you?
Another thing to think about is what time of the day is your class? If it's early in the morning and it's winter time, people's bodies are going to be tight because they're cold. So you need to spend longer time warming up. If it's nighttime, you can spend less time warming up but longer time cooling down. So just thinking like, okay, what time of day is it? And you teach a 7 a.m. class. Even if it's the same students in the same yoga studio at the same level 2-3 class, teach the 7 a.m. class slightly different than the 7 p.m. class.
And how?
Again, more warm-ups for the 7 a.m.
Right.
And more cool-down for the 7 p.m.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Nice. Any others?
That's just what comes to mind right now.
Cool. Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, I feel like we talked about a lot of topics, a lot of common mistakes, provided some solutions, so I feel pretty happy about that.
Cool.
Yeah, great. And then the next episode, we're going to have you back.
Awesome.
And we're going to talk about sequencing for every body type. So we kind of touched on it a little bit.
Yeah.
Right? But and I'll probably jump in on this, but that's going to be what the next episode is going to be about. So I'm excited to talk about that one with you.
Amazing.
Cool. All right. Any final words for our audience?
No. Work on your cueing just as much as your sequencing, because they're literally like two sides of the same coin.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Okay. Thank you, everyone, for listening, for tuning in this week. And as always, we appreciate you. And if you are liking our podcast, as always, if you want to send us some love, you can go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify, go down to that star review, give us a little bit of love. I'd really appreciate it. It helps us to grow this podcast and spread this information to other people all over the world. And thank you so much again, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
All right, before you go, let me just tell you about the goingproyoga.com platform. So right now, you can go to goingproyoga.com and check it out for free for 7 days, where you can actually learn more about yoga in the ways of alignment, cueing, sequencing, yoga anatomy, so that if you've done a 200-hour teacher training and you want to continue to learn, practice, and grow, this platform is definitely for you. So I definitely suggest checking it out. Goingproyoga.com. Right now, you can try it out for free for 7 days.